من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة أما بعد إن شاء الله now we are the fourth lecture in this program today it will be by adherence of the Sunnah Inshallah we will give us our brother our guest speaker Abu Muslima without delaying we are saying Inshallah فَلِتْفَضَ مَشْكُورًا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Tonight's topic, adherence to the Sunnah, we're going to take another look at some of the meanings of this word, Sunnah. We had discussed previously the Sunnah, that which has been narrated to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his statements and his actions. And we also took a basic look at the linguistical meaning of the word Sunnah, and this is any path. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we want to look at the meaning of the word Sunnah, meaning the deen of Al-Islam. As opposed to the word Sunnah, which is commonly used to mean that which is recommended in this deen, that which is mustahab or mandub. We know in Islam that we have some Sunnah that if you leave it, it's kufr. And this type of sunnah, we're referring to the deen of Al-Islam, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he explained the sunnah of making the salah in the masjid, and that if you leave the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you would go astray. Another ulama, they give the example of making salatul dhuhr for raka'at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to establish the salah. How do we know that Salatul Maghrib is 3 raka'at? Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us from his sunnah. This sunnah, if we leave it off, then we're leaving off this deen of Al-Islam. As opposed to the sunnah, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught us for the example of making 2 raka'at after Salatul Maghrib, that this type of sunnah is recommended in Islam. So tonight, we're not going to talk about both of these types of sunnah, that which is recommended in Islam, as opposed to the word sunnah, meaning the deen of Al-Islam. We're referring to the word sunnah, meaning the deen of Al-Islam. When you say, is that sunnah, meaning is that from the deen? Is making four raka'as dhuhr sunnah? Yes, the sunnah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught the believers to make dhuhr for raka'as, and he taught the believers to make maghrib 3 raka'as, and this is from the sunnah. Meaning this is from the deen, and this is the point that we want to discuss tonight when we say adherence to the sunnah, meaning adherence to the deen. And this deen is simple and it's basic, and it's holding fast to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way that it was understood and practiced by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then their companions, and then their companions in specific, and then the rest of the ummah who practiced and understood the Qur'an and the Sunnah the way that they understood and practiced the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many verses commands us to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله. In the beginning of Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, do not be forward or be forward over Allah and His Messenger. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not, as the ulama explained, do not decide an affair in your lives until you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger in that affair. Do not hold the belief, do not make any statements, do not perform any acts of worship until you know the decision of Allah and His Messenger. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And then fear Allah, indeed Allah is the hearing, the knower. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in every aspect of our lives that we want to get involved in, we need to know the decision of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as this is the deen of Islam. And once we've known this decision of Allah and His Messenger, then there's no choice except to take this position. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ahzab, مَا كَانِ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدَ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It is not proper or befitting for a believing man or a believing woman. Once Allah and His Messenger has made a decision, that they have a choice in that affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone clearly astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many verses in the Quran commands us to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger. And that we need to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives. And we need to know this decision of Allah and His Messenger before we act and not afterwards. And once we know, then we don't have a choice except to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the verdict of His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, as Allah commands us in so many verses to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger. And this is what we mean when we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. We're all agreeing or testifying that we're going to obey Allah and that we're going to obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as this is the deen of Islam. But this third point that we mentioned, this is the point that we want to make clear inshallah ta'ala tonight about adherence to the sunnah, and that is the understanding and the practical application of this Quran and this Sunnah. Obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has to be taken from our righteous predecessors, or as we say in Arabic, the Salaf al-Salih. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, and the first foremost predecessors from among the muhajirin and the ansar, and the muhajirin are those who made hijrah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Mecca to Al-Madinah, and the ansar, they are the Muslims of Al-Madinah, and those who follow them bi ihsan, and those who follow them properly, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding there forever, and that is the greatest achievement. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that Allah is pleased with a group of people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that there are a group of people who are in Jannah because they fulfilled obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa salatu wa salam, and those that follow them bi ihsan, and those that follow them properly. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the importance of following the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. As we heard the Imam reciting just earlier, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, whoever opposes the Messenger after clear guidance has come to him and he follows a path other than the path of the believers, we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to and enter him into Jahannam, or what an evil abode. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's commanding us to follow the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that is, as it could have been sufficient for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say, whoever opposes the messenger after clear guidance has come to him, we will turn into what he turns himself to, and we will enter him into Jahannam or the evil abode. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and follows a path other than the path of the believers. When this verse was revealed to humanity, was there any other believers other than the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam? And this is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us to follow the path of the believers, the path of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the path of the believers who understood Islam and practiced Islam the way they practiced it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentions the path of the believers, could he be talking about those brothers that the brother was questioning about, the Muslims who don't want to practice Islam? They want to go out and be indulged in sin. Is Allah telling us if we don't follow their path that he's going to turn us to what we turn to and enter us into Jahannam or what an evil abode? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, when he is speaking about the path of the believers, he means the path of the believers who follow the Quran and the Sunnah correctly, the way that the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam understood it and practiced it, and those generations that came after them up into our generation that understand and practice this Quran in this correct manner. We were also mentioning the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if they believe in that which you believe in, then they would have been guided. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he revealed this, he is speaking to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying if the rest of the people believe in what you believe in, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they would be guided. And these are ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the Muslims that there's no escape from following the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, he shows us in authentic hadith. As he says, سَتَفْتَرِقُ أُمَّتِي عَلَى ثَلَاثٍ وَسَبْعِينَ فِرْقَةٍ كُلُّهَا فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا وَاحِدَةٍ قِيلَ مَا الْوَاحِدَةِ قَالَ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ وَأَصْحَابِي. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in this authentic narration, inshaAllah ta'ala, collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and others, that this ummah, my ummah, the ummah of Muslims, will be divided into 73 sects, all of them in the hellfire except one. They said, and which one is that? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one which is upon what I am upon today and my companions. Those who adhere to what I adhere to today and my companions. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could have just said, whoever adheres to what I adhere to, he's the sect that's not going to be in the hellfire. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had added, and his companions. Because what the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam brought to humanity from the Quran and his sunnah, it was understood and it was practiced to the level where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with him. That they practiced the Quran and the Sunnah till they had the confirmation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we use in the example when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam commanded the people istawu, to stay in the road. Who were the first people who lived by this commandment of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was his companions. And they fulfilled this commandment till the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam looked at them and he saw that, yes, you have understood what I have commanded it, and you have implemented in your lives perfectly. And this is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam left his companions to pass on to the generations that come after them. And this is the importance of following the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this narration, and this is the narration of Imam Ahmad, and when you hear the hadith, inshallah, it will remind you of the narration of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was questioned, أي الناس خير؟ قال أنا والذين معي ثم الذين على الأثر ثم الذين على الأثر. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was questioned, who is the best of mankind? And he said, I am, and those that are with me, and then those that follow them, and then those that follow them. And even the narrator of this hadith, he said it was as if the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم rejected the rest of the people. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this narration of the hadith that we usually know, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, that the best of humanity is my generation, and then the generation that follows them, and then the generation that follows them. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is showing who are the best people. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam are showing who are the best among the Muslims. And he singled out these three generations because of their practicing and implementing and understanding this Quran and the Sunnah in their lives, as opposed to the generations that came after them, where deviants crept in on the scene and the Muslims began to break off into different groups, that these were the people who were there from the very beginning, who understood the Quran and the Sunnah properly, and they practiced it properly in their lives, and they passed it on to the people who would take this understanding and this practice of the Quran and the Sunnah and to practice it in their lives and to pass it on. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and quite a few hadith, he commands us to follow his companions, as we see in the hadith that we had quoted yesterday, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَتَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. From the hadith of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever among you lives, he will see many differences of an opinion. So I command him to hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who come after me, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he's saying difference of opinion, he's not referring to people are going to say, some of them going to say, no, we're not going to use the Quran and the Sunnah to practice Islam. No, all of the Muslims agree that we're going to use the Quran and the Sunnah to practice Islam. Then what is this many difference of an opinion? This is how we're going to understand and how we're going to practice the Quran and the Sunnah in our lives. The Muslims began to differ, and Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us what to do when we saw these differences, and that is to take his Sunnah and the Sunnah of the rightly guided Khalifas. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guiding us to following the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they understood and they practiced Islam. And so did the generation that came after them and the generation that came after them. And it didn't stop there, as they passed their understanding and their practical application of the Quran to the people who accepted it, who came after them, all the way up into our generation and eventually to Yawm al-Qiyamah. This point is the point that we want to really drive home tonight, inshallah ta'ala, and that is following this understanding and this practical application of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then their companions, and then their companions, when we understand and we practice this Quran and our Sunnah and our lives. Because the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has established for us this type of understanding and this type of practical implementation of the Quran and the Sunnah in our lives. And this is what the people are calling today, as they called in the past, following the Salaf al-Salih. This understanding and this practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah, with the understanding and practical application of the companions, and then the Tabi'un, and then the Tabi'ut Tabi'un, that this type of understanding and practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah, the way that they did it, this is called following the Salaf al-Salih. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hadith has commanded us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ayat has commanded us, to understand and to implement the Quran and the Sunnah in our lives the way that they did, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had praised them for the understanding and the practical application of the Quran. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this next hadith, he sets the tone for the language, as we're going to see that his companions and the ulama afterwards, that we follow our Salaf al-Salih, and that this is the correct understanding, and that this is the correct application of the Quran and the Sunnah, by following it and practicing it and understanding it according to the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf al-Salih. And the Salaf al-Salih, they're not a new group. The Salaf al-Salih, this isn't any new group that some people are calling to, but this is that which is based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we understand and we practice Quran according to the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf al-Salih. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, he told his companions, rather he told his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, when she was crying because she realized that the death of her father, the last Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was soon. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her, فَاتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَاصْبِرِي فَإِنَّهُ نِعْمُ سَلَفُ أَنَا لَكِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told her, be patient and fear Allah, because indeed I am the best Salaf for you. Indeed I am the best predecessor for you. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling Fatima radiallahu anha that when I die, that I was the best example for you, and showing you how to understand and to practice the Quran in your lives, that I was the best Salaf, that I was the best predecessor as an example for you. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the hadith of Imam al-Darimi, and this is an authentic narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed that after him that there were other people also. As he says alayhi salatu wasallam, يَذْهَبُ الصَّالِحُونَ أَسْلَافًا, that your righteous predecessors have gone before you, that they have died off and they set the example for you in understanding and practicing this Quran in your life. Those people have come before you from the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the tabi'un and the tabi'ut tabi'un, that they have come before you and they are your righteous predecessors, and that you are to take your understanding of this deen and your practical application of this deen from them. The companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, to the generations that came after them, they taught the people the same type of methodology. As Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say, Ya ma'ashara al-qurra, khudu tariqa man qablakum. He used to say, O you memorizers and reciters of the Quran, follow the path of the people who came before you. It would be as if the people who memorized the Quran, they would be the people who could practice Islam the best, as Islam is based on the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Hudhayfa commanded them to follow the path of the people who came before them, because the Quran, you won't know how to understand it and practice it in your lives if you don't look to the people who came before you. And this is the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking to the tabi'un who came right after him. And they're so close to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. And if he's telling them and informing them that they have to take the path of those who came before them, then how much so for us, so many generations after the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much more are we in need of going back to the path of the people who came before us. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم. Follow and don't invent, you have been given enough. And he's saying that what the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had gave the generation after them from the Quran and the Sunnah, and how to understand it and practice it in their lives, that what he gave them was sufficient for them, and that they should follow it and not invent anything else. Not invent another type of understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. Not another way to practice the Quran and the Sunnah. As we were mentioning the way of the Khawarij, that they had the belief that any Muslim that committed a sin was a disbeliever, was a kafir. And they were teaching the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you misunderstand the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever judges by other than what Allah has revealed, that they are the kafirs, that person who's committing a sin is judging by others than what Allah has revealed, and he's a kafir. And the companions of the Prophet were trying to teach them, this isn't the way you understand the Quran. And everyone knows that the Khawarij were deviant. Though everyone also knows that they were the people who claimed to hold strongest to the Quran and the Sunnah. They were supposedly the people who held fast to the Quran and the Sunnah, and they were known as the biggest worshippers. As people used to say, they used to have big prostration marks on their foreheads, and they used to fight in the jihad, and they used to be courageous, and they used to give their wealth fi sabilillah. However, they wanted to understand the Quran and to practice it in their lives according to their own understanding, and this is how they went astray. Because no one could understand the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam any way he likes to. He's forced to understand it the way that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had understood it. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he also said, "Inna naqtadi wa la nabtadi wa nattabi' wa la nabtadi' wa lan nadilla ma tamassakna bil athar." Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he also said, "Indeed, we imitate and we don't start our own way, and we follow and we don't invent, and we will never go astray so long as we hold fast to the narration." And here Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is commanding us to hold fast to the narrations of the people who came before us, for the people who came before them, showing that the narrations go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that the people, they have to hold fast to these narrations if they're going to be guided. They have to hold fast to these narrations if they're going to be guided. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, from among the Tabi'een, rahimahullah, he said, كانوا يقولون إذا كان الرجل على الأثر فهو على الطريق. That the people used to say that whoever holds fast to the narration, then those are the people on the straight path. The narrations of the people who came before them. Meaning you're taking your deen from the narrations, going back to the people who came before you, as they were the first people who practiced Islam. And now, inshaAllah ta'ala, we want to just take a look at some of the statements of the ulama, generation after generation, inshaAllah ta'ala, so that we can see that this Quran and this Sunnah, it must be understood and practiced the way that our righteous predecessors, our Salaf al-Saleh, understood it, and that this is the only way that is correct. And no other way of practicing the Quran and the Sunnah is correct. No other way of practicing the Quran and the Sunnah, or understanding the Quran and the Sunnah, is correct other than the way of the Salaf al-Saleh. As we've seen from the ayah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and now from the statements of the ulama, as Abu Hanifa رحمه الله, he said, عليك بالأثر وطريقة السلف. I command you to hold fast to the narrations and the path of the Salaf. I command you to hold fast to the narrations and the path of the Salaf. And Imam al-Awza'i رحمه الله came after him, he said, اصبر نفسك على السنة وقف حيث وقف القوم وقل بما قالوا وكف عما كفوا عنه واسلك سبيل سلفك الصالح فَإِنَّهُ يَسَعَكَ مَا وَسَعَهُمْ. Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he said, make yourself patient with holding on to the sunnah, and stop where the people stop, referring to the people who came before you, and say what they used to say, and refrain from that which they used to refrain from, and follow the path of your Salaf al-Saleh, and follow the path of your righteous predecessors, because indeed what was sufficient for them is sufficient for you. Here Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah, he's saying the same thing that all of the ulama that we're going to quote, inshaAllah ta'ala, are saying, generation after generation, that you have to hold fast to the path of the Salaf al-Saleh, that we have to hold fast to the path of our righteous predecessors, that whatever they used to say, then that's what we say. Whatever they used to be upon, then that's what we're upon. And whatever they used to stay away from, then that is what we stay away from. And that this is the correct methodology. And this is the correct way to understand the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is the correct way to practice the Quran and the Sunnah in our lives. Imam al-Awza'i also says, عليك بآثار من سلف وإن رفضك الناس. He says, I advise you to hold fast to the narrations of your Salaf, of your righteous predecessors, even if the people oppose you, or even if the people let you go or leave you alone and say, oh, you are the brothers who follow the Salaf al-Saleh, we don't want anything to do with you. Even if the people say that to us, we're going to hold fast to that which was left by the Salaf al-Saleh, as this is the correct way to understand and practice Islam in our lives. Imam Sufyan rahimahullah ibn Uyayna, he says, لا تشتموا السلف وَدُخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. He says, don't insult your Salaf. Don't talk bad about the Salaf so that you can enter Jannah peacefully. Don't speak bad about the Salaf so that you can enter Jannah peacefully. And these are just statements of the ulama showing us the importance of holding fast to the Salaf. And we have to remind ourselves of these statements, unfortunately, as nowadays some of the people, they think that holding fast to the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf al-Saleh for the Quran and the Sunnah, that this is a new way, or that this is a strange way, or that this is a harsh and difficult way, this is the only way. This is the correct way. This is the way that we find in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the deen of al-Islam. And the ulama, generation after generation, have been calling the Muslims to understand and to practice the Quran according to the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf, like we're doing tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala. Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, who repented from his deviance, who died 324 Hijra, when he repented, he wrote his belief that he wanted to die upon that which was correct, and from among his statements is his statement, وَنَدِينُ بِحُبِّ السَّلَفِ, and we worship Allah as a part of our deen, loving the Salaf, as this is a part of the deen of al-Islam. Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah, Malik al-Saghir, he said in his Aqidah and the Muqaddimah of his Risala, he said, الطاعة لأئمة المسلمين وولاة الأمور وولاة أمورهم وعلمائهم واتباع السلف الصالح واقتفاء آثارهم والاستغفار لهم. Here Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qirawani rahimahullah, he said, obedience is for the leaders of the Muslims, for the Imams of the Muslims, and those who are in charge of the affairs of the Muslims, and their ulama, and following the Salaf al-Salih, and imitating them, and the narrations that they bring, and seeking their forgiveness. This is a part of the fundamental belief of the Muslims. As he's mentioning in the beginning of his Risala, the belief or the fundamental belief of all of the Muslims, and that every Muslim should have and hold in his heart and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. And he brought following the Salaf al-Salih and imitating them and the narrations that they brought to us. And he died 386 Hijra, or around that time, rahimahullah. Some of the ulama, they used to say, وَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ فِي اتِّبَاعِ مَنْ سَلَفْ وَكُلُّ شَرٍ فِي اتِّدَاعِ مَنْ خَلَفْ, that all of the good is in following those who have preceded you from the Salaf, and all of the evil is following those who have innovated from among the Khalaf, from among the latter generations. And this statement is a statement to advise us to go back to the understanding and the practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah, the way that the Salaf al-Salih, the righteous predecessors from among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those that followed them. Imam al-Subki rahimahullah, he said, Alhamdulillah, as he's explaining the issue, and we'll see, هذه بدعة لا يشك لا شك فيها لا يشك فيها أحد ولا يرتاب في ذلك ويكفي أنها لم تعرف في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا في زمن أصحابه ولا عن أحد من علماء السلف. Here Imam al-Subki rahimahullah, he's speaking about a particular bid'ah, as he says, Alhamdulillah, that this is a bid'ah, this practice, and that no one doubts that this practice is a bid'ah. And it is sufficient for us to say or to know that it was unknown during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was unknown during the time of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was unknown with anyone from among the ulama of the Salaf. Here he's showing that simply something not being known to the ulama of the Salaf is sufficient for it to be bid'ah. As we heard one of our shaykhs, Abu Bakr al-Jazairi, in al-Medina one day when he was talking against this, the Mawlid, celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told the people to stay away from this, as this is a bid'ah. And one of the people in the audience, when we were there, he said, Ya Shaykh, how are you going to say that's a bid'ah? And the Shaykh said, A'udhu billahi minka. And the rest of the people, they were surprised. And they said, Shaykh, he said, A'udhu billahi minkum antum jami'a. The Shaykh said, when the person says, Shaykh, how are you going to be so hard by calling this a bid'ah and you know that everyone practices? He says, I seek refuge in Allah from you. And the rest of the people, they said, Shaykh, how can you say that to the brother? And the Shaykh said, I seek refuge in Allah from every single one of you. And he said, it's sufficient to know that this thing was not known amongst the Salaf, your predecessors from among the Muslims. Were they celebrating the Prophet's birthday? Were the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam celebrating the birthday of the Prophet? Did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam celebrate his birthday? Did the Tabi'un celebrate the birthday? For 1,000 years, did any Muslims, 1,000 years after Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam celebrate his birthday? How can you invent it 1,400 years later, 1,300 years later, and consider it to be Islam? It is sufficient to know that something was unknown during the time of our righteous predecessors for it to be sufficient not to be from the deen of al-Islam. And this is showing us that the correct and only understanding and the only application of the Quran and the Sunnah is the understanding and the application of the Salaf al-Salih. Just as Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he said, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَأْخُذَ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ كَلَامِهِمْ يَعْنِي أَسَلَفْ فَاتَهُ ذَلِكَ الْخَيْرِ كله مع ما يقع في كثير من الباطل متابعة لمن تأخر عنه. In this book that Ibn Rajab rahimahullah he wrote called فضل العلم السلف على علم الخلف, I think that's the title of the book, The Virtues of the Knowledge of the Salaf Opposed to the Knowledge of the Khalaf. And the Salaf are righteous predecessors, and the Khalaf are the people who come in the latter generations. He said that whoever does not learn their knowledge from their statements, from the statements of the Salaf, then he will miss out on all good. And he will fall into so much falsehood for following the people who come after the Salaf. So here Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he's showing us that the correct understanding of this deen and the correct application of this deen of the Quran and the Sunnah, of obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is following the Salaf al-Salih. Just as Ibn Abdul Hadi rahimahullah, he says, لَوْ كَانَ حَقًّا لَسَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ عِلْمًا وَعَمَلًا وَإِرْشَادًا وَنَصِيحَةً. He said that if anything was the truth, if anything was correct, then they, the Salaf al-Salih, would have preceded us in it, with the knowledge of it, and with the actions of it, and with calling the people to it, and advising the people to hold fast to it. But there's nothing that the people are going to come with later on that's going to be better than the people who came before them. As we were mentioning the problem with the Khawarij, that they came after the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they claimed that they held faster to the Quran and the Sunnah than the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is what Ibn Abdul Hadi rahimahullah, he's saying, if there was any good, then they beat it to it. They beat us to it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they would be the people who accept Islam first. And they would be the people who understood Islam first, and that everyone has to understand and practice Islam the way they did it, if they're going to be correct. As no one could beat them to the truth, as they were the first ones to accept the truth. Radiallahu anhu. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, who died 620 Hijra, he said, قَدْ ثَبَتَ وُجُوبُ اتِّبَاعِ السَّلَفِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالْعِجْمَاعِ وَالْعِبْرَةُ دَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ. He said, rahimahullah, that it has been established in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in Ijma' and in the Ibrah. And here he's referring to the understanding of all of that. That it has been affirmed and established that it is compulsory to follow the Salaf. It has been established in the Quran, in the Sunnah, in Ijma' that it is compulsory to follow the Salaf. And this is the only correct way to understand the Quran and the Sunnah and to implement it in our lives. To follow the way that our righteous predecessors followed and understood the Quran and the Sunnah. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, who is very familiar to all of us, he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الصَّوَابَ الْمُخْتَارِ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَفُ رضي الله عنهم فَهَذَا هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَغْتَرَّنَّ بِكَثْرَةِ مَنْ يُخَالِفَهُ. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, I want you to know that that which is chosen as most correct is that which the Salaf was upon. May Allah have mercy on them. and that this is the truth, and do not be fooled by so many people who oppose it. This is the wisdom of the scholars of Islam, who are known to all of the Muslims. And this is advice to us to understand and to implement the Quran in our lives the way that our Salaf al-Saleh had followed and understood this Quran and the Sunnah. And let's not be distracted by how many people oppose it, as this is correct, as it's been established from the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the ulama from the Sahaba onwards. And that we shouldn't be fooled by the statements of the other people who have invented these new groups on the scene, and they want to say as if the Salaf al-Saleh and following them is a new type of group. This is the way that it was before the group came on the scene. This is the way that it was before the groups have come on the scene. Just like the people have invented their shirk. When you call them to Islam, they say, well, what makes you think that your religion is better than my religion? Or my religion is better than his religion, or what have you. This is because the origin was a tawheed until the people have gone astray. We don't have just a religion, like everyone has a religion and everyone's religion has the possibility of being right and wrong. No, there was one way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a tawheed, and then the people deviated from that. There was one way to understand the Quran and to practice the Quran in your lives, and that was the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, until the later generations came and added more or their own understanding and their own way to apply the Quran and the Sunnah in their lives. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah, he says, inna ihdath al-qawli fi tafsir kitabillah alladhi kana salafu wal a'immatu ala khilafihi yastalzimu ahada amrayn, imma an yakuna khata'un fi nafsihi aw takunu أقوال السلف المخالفة له خطأ ولا يشك عاقل أنه أولى بالغلط والخطأ من قول السلف. Here Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah رحمه الله says, indeed, to come up with another understanding of the Book of Allah, with a new tafsir of any ayah in the Quran, understanding that the Salaf and the scholars were upon different than that. This shows one of two possibilities. Number one, either that this new statement is just simply wrong, or that the statements of the Salaf, which are different than this new statement, is wrong, and no one in his right mind would think that other than it is more correct to think that the mistake and the being wrong is other than with the statements of the Salaf. Here Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, what he's saying is, listen, the Quran and the Sunnah, it has a particular understanding and it has a particular way to be practiced in the lives of the believers, as Islam isn't new. It's been practiced already by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, and they passed that on to the generation after them and the generation after them. Here we come 1400 years later, and we come out with a new understanding of the Quran, as Ghulam Ahmad, the liar and the false prophet, had come up with, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Khatim al-Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets. That means he's the beauty of the prophets. It doesn't mean that he's the last one. It just means that he's the best one. And then he lied and said that he was one after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, though the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best, that he was one. This understanding, it's either saying that the understanding of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Muslims who understood that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam was the last prophet and messenger to all of humanity, either that they are wrong or that he's wrong. And it's easier to say that he's wrong instead of they being wrong. And who is the Muslim or the Shaykh or the group that's ready to say that their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah and that their practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah is more right than the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhu? or that their understanding is better than the understanding of the tabi'un, or the tabi'un, or the scholars of Islam who follow this understanding and this practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah. How can someone think that their statement is going to be more correct than the statement of the Salaf? This is to talk bad about the people who have brought Islam to you, that you could have not beat them to the good that they have brought to you. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he says, لا ينبغي العدول عن طريق السلف, to turn away from the path of the Salaf, because indeed the path of the Salaf is better and more complete. And then the author was quoting the statement of Shaykh al-Islam, he added, and it is better to stay away from every path that opposes the path of the Salaf, because every path that opposes the path of the Salaf is more deviant and more ignorant. And here we see the beautiful statements of the ulama commanding us to follow the Salaf, as this is the only way to understand and to practice the Quran and the Sunnah in our lives. As Shaykh al-Islam also says, لا عيب على من أظهر مذهب السلف وانتسب إليه واعتز إليه بل يجب قبول ذلك منه بالاتفاق فإن مذهب السلف لا يكون إلا حقا. Shaykh al-Islam rahimullah, he says that there is no blame at all on the one who outwardly professes the madhab of the Salaf, and that he affiliates himself to it by saying, I'm Salafi. And he associates himself with that which the Salaf was upon. But there is no blame on this person. Rather, it is compulsory by the consensus of the ulama to accept what he is upon, because the madhab of the Salaf could never be anything other than the truth. Here Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, is showing that there's no aib for the people to say, I'm calling the people to understand the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf al-Salih. And myself, I'm a Salafi. And I'm calling the Muslims to be among the Salafi youth, and to understand and to practice the Quran and the Sunnah in their lives the way that the Salaf al-Salih have practiced it. There's no shame for the person to come out and say this to the people. And how could there be any shame when people have no problem saying, I'm Tijani, or I'm Naqshbandi, or something like that, from one of these deviant Sufi sects, and the people are proud to say, I'm Sufi. People are proud to say, I follow such and such of a deviant sect. People are happy to say that they're Ahmadiyyan, or that they are part of whatever deviance that they are part of. How can the people be ashamed not to be happy and to be proud to say that we're Salafi and that we follow the madhab of the Salaf, because this is the correct way to understand the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everyone has agreed, even from the latter scholars who have their own little understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, they still agree that whoever holds fast to the understanding and the practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah the way that the Salaf did, then we have to say that he is correct. Or as they say nowadays, that at least he is safe. And he's not just safe, but he's correct, and more correct than the other ways. This is what the people say from among the latter scholars, that whoever follows the Salaf, that at least he's safe, and we won't say that he's incorrect, because the Salaf can never be other than wrong. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, and we'll end this with his statement inshallah ta'ala, he said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي لِعَالِمٍ أَنْ يَدِينَ بِغَيْرِ مَا دَانَ بِهِ السَّلَفُ الصَّالِحِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ وَالتَّابِعِينَ وَتَابِعِيهِمْ مِنَ الْوُقُوفِ عَلَى مَا تَقْتَضِيهِ أَدِلَّةُ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ. And this is summarizing the talk inshallah ta'ala, as Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that it is not proper for a alim, and this is in the book where Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he wrote a book on how to be a scholar, and he taught the people what books to read and what scholars to learn from and how to learn each of the different sciences in Islam, until he ended it off by saying, but it's not proper that a scholar or a person of knowledge worship Allah on other than that which the Salaf al-Salih worshipped Allah upon. Shaykh al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he's showing the different ways, and even at times he encourages to read some of the books of the people who are a little deviant,
So he said that when you see their deviance, just so you can know where they're deviant at and where they stand, so that the truth is clearer to you. As when you see the shirk and you see the kufr in front of you, as compared to the tawheed, then you see how clear this shirk and this kufr, you see how clear it's wrong. And the same way Imam al-Shawkani was encouraging the students of knowledge to see some of the ways of the deviants and some of their basic beliefs, so that you can know how wrong it is. And then he added on to the end of that, however, you only worship Allah. You only going to practice and to believe in that which was practiced by the Salaf al-Saleh from among the companions, from among the Sahaba, and from among the Tabi'een, and from those that followed them, from the what they have stopped and understood and practiced from the proof of the Quran and the Sunnah. This talk, adherence to the Sunnah, was about adherence to the deen. And this deen is the Quran and the Sunnah. And all of the Muslims say that they hold fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is why we were bringing from the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the scholars of Islam, that there's only one correct way to understand and to practice this Quran and the Sunnah in your lives, and that is the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, the way of your righteous predecessors, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then their companions, and then their companions in specific, and then the rest of the ummah that have followed them and their understanding and their practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who follow the Salaf al-Saleh and their understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, and the application of both of them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people who call the rest of the Muslims to understand and to practice the Quran and the Sunnah in their lives the way of the Salaf al-Saleh. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to die on the methodology of the Salaf al-Saleh. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka walhamdulillah.
جزا الله الحصول خير الجزاء ونسى الله أن يجعله في ميزان حسناته يوم لا يطعمون ولا مرور إلا ما أكره من غير السليم. من الله الجواد والبرادر أبو مسلمة. Now we are going to open the session of questions. Brothers and sisters, you can write down, you can ask the brothers. Inshallah, we will ask our brother Abu Muslim. The first question says, were all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
were all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam infallible? No, not the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam weren't infallible. If they were not, should we follow them or other righteous predecessors blindly? No one should follow anyone blindly. And this statement of following the Salaf al-Saleh is that which they have agreed upon from the understanding and the practice of this deen of al-Islam. As the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تجتمع أمتي على ضلالة, that my ummah will not all agree on that which is deviant or that which will lead the people astray. And when we're saying to follow the Salaf al-Saleh, we're not saying any one particular one from among them that everything that he does is correct. No, we're saying that the way that they in general practiced Islam and understood Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah, that this is the way that we're going to understand and practice the Quran and the Sunnah. As we were giving the example about the celebrating the Prophet's birthday, none of them celebrated the Prophet's birthday. How are we going to invent it later and think that it's okay? Therefore, should we follow them only if their actions and statements agree with those of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah? Yes,
our following of our Salaf al-Saleh, as we mentioned all the way through the talk, that it's the understanding and the practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah that we're following of the Salaf al-Saleh. And that we're not saying that the Salaf al-Saleh, that they're on the level of the Quran and the Sunnah. That this deen is based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's where our deen stems from. But the understanding and the practical application of this Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be taken from the Salaf al-Saleh. So when we follow them, we're not following that which they do on their own. But we're following from them their understanding and their practical application of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I remember one day, I was questioning one of the deviants. And I asked them, do you know any statements of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu other than that he used to say, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. I asked them, do you know? They don't know any statements of Abu Huraira. And most of the Salaf al-Saleh, that they brought these ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time or in a context where you can see the understanding and the practical application of this. Like we can take the example of Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, that he was going to visit Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Abu Musa was among the young companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and Umar was among the older companions. He knocked three times, he didn't hear anything at Umar radiallahu ta'ala's door, so he went away. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to him, he said, who is at my door? As Umar was walking in the street, and Abu Musa said, it was me. He said, well, why did you leave? He said, because the Prophet ﷺ taught us to knock three times and ask for permission, and either we're giving permission and we give the salams and enter, or we leave. Umar said, I never heard the Prophet ﷺ say that. Bring me some proof that the Prophet ﷺ said that, until someone bore witness that he heard this from the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and then Umar accepted it from him. But you see how they narrated the hadith, that you know how to practice it, and you know how to understand it properly, so that you can implement it in your lives. And this is what we're saying that the Salaf brought, the understanding and the practical application. As the other example that we are given, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Istawu, istawu, istawu." Stay in the road, stay in the road, stay in the road. And the companions, they narrated that when the Prophet said this, that we would look at one another, and I saw that everyone's shoulder was firmly against the shoulder of his brother, and everyone's foot was firmly against the foot of his brother. So we see, as they're narrating this hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that they're adding with it the understanding and the practical application of it. And this is what we're saying. How would we know that Ghulam Ahmed is deviant when he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the Prophet, meaning like the ring has a signet, a stone on it, and that's the seal of the ring or the beauty of the ring, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the beauty of the Prophet, but he's not the last one. Okay, how do we know that his understanding of this ayat is wrong? Because this understanding was never with anyone from among the ulama of the Salaf. And this goes for the rest of the ayat and the rest of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the understanding of it and the practical application of it has already been handled. And if people come up with a new way to understand the Quran and a new way to implement the Sunnah in their lives, that this is what is unacceptable, and the only thing that is acceptable is the way of the Salaf. So know that, not that we're blindly following the Salaf as they came up with their own opinions. And we could have made another lecture on the statement of the ulama, and this is just an example. As one of the ulama said, I used to make fatwas for 40 years for the Muslims, and never once did I use my own opinion. And there are many statements of the ulama to say they didn't use their own opinion from among the Sahaba and the Tabi'un. Just as we know Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he has a chapter, the blameworthiness of using your own opinion and burdening yourself with qiyas. That Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, you see his books, what is the verdict of Imam al-Bukhari, for example, and how many raka'at do you make to Salatul Tarawih? What is Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah's verdict? He quotes the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he never made in Ramadan in the night salah. in the Tarawih or outside of Ramadan any more than 11 raka'at. 8 and 3 witr, or in some of the narrations, 13. This is the verdict of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and these are the verdicts of the ulama who have come before him. Like I was asking in the beginning, do you know any verdicts of Abu Huraira other than the Prophet ﷺ said? The Prophet ﷺ did. The Prophet ﷺ said. I heard the Prophet ﷺ say. The Prophet ﷺ did. These are the verdicts of the people who came before us, and that they used them in the context, and that they practiced them and implemented them in their lives. As we saw, how do we know how to make wudu? As Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was showing his servant, can you get me some water? And then he made a wudu, and his servant was watching him. And he said, this is the way I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make wudu. This is how we know how to implement the ayah in the Quran of wudu. Because the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam practice Islam. And then they practiced it the way that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced it. And then they passed it on to the people who came after them. Not that they invented their own opinions the way that we do today. And we were mentioning the statement yesterday that the enemies of the Sunnah, they haven't memorized the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they talk from their own opinion, and they go astray and they lead the people astray. This is in opposition to the companions and the early scholars of Islam who used to make their verdicts on the statements from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf. The person is asking, is my affiliation to the Salaf al-Salih, to our Salaf al-Salih, with my statement, a statement that is praiseworthy or a statement that is blameworthy? If I said that I am a Salafi, and how would I call to it? The statement of affiliation or the acknowledgement of the affiliation with the Salaf al-Salih, this is praiseworthy, as we saw in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the statement of the ulama. This is praiseworthy for a person to say, I'm Salafi. And if we read in some of the books of Rijal, the books that deal with those people who are in the chain of the hadith and the narrations, that sometimes they describe, they say, so and so was Salafi, just to show how seriously he held fast to the understanding and the application of the Salaf, and that this was a praiseworthy statement for the scholar to be known as a Salafi. And this showed that he was among the farthest persons from using his own opinion. And even nowadays, when they say that a person is Salafi, it shows that he's staying away from his own opinion. Because what he brings to the people is what he found the Salaf upon from the Quran and the Sunnah, with their understanding and their application. As I was giving the example of Imam al-Bukhari, what's his verdict on such and such? When you go to his book, you find the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or you find the statements of the ulama who came before him. As Imam al-Bukhari sometimes says, Anas radiallahu anhu said, Abdullah ibn Umar said, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said. This is what Imam al-Bukhari and the ulama of Islam used to say. And this is why it's a praiseworthy statement to be known as a Salafi, because it shows that he's staying away from his own opinions and leading the people astray, and that he's holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah with the correct understanding and application. How do we call to it? We call the people to this Madhhab al-Salaf, the way that the ulama have called the people to it, by clearly telling the people the correct way to understand the Quran and the correct way to practice the Quran and the correct way to understand the Sunnah. And the correct way to practice the Sunnah is the way of the Salaf al-Salih. Because the way of the Salaf al-Salih is the correct way. And no other way is correct except this way. And this has been established in the Quran, in the Sunnah, and the statements of the Sahaba and the scholars of Islam. And it's just upon us to mention this to the people. And indeed, you will not guide who you love, but Allah guides whoever He wills. And whoever Allah has guided, none can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. And we always have to take this into consideration when we're giving the da'wah. And alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only going to hold us accountable for giving the da'wah, and he's not going to hold us accountable for the response, alhamdulillah. And you can imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would hold us accountable for the consequences of our da'wah, almost all of us would be finished. How many kuffar have we called to the deen of Islam and how many of them rejected it? Can you imagine every time we go to the kafir and we try to explain to him Islam and he rejects it, Allah would punish us for that? Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been merciful to us and generous to us and has only made us responsible for delivering the message. Whether the people accept it or not, it's upon them. And they have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to stand before our Lord saying, we called to the madhab of Salaf, of the Salaf. We told the people, we told the Muslims that which is correct from the understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah, that which is correct from applying the Quran and the Sunnah in your lives, is that of the Salaf al-Salih. Whether the people accept it or reject it, it's upon them, and it's only upon us to give the message, walhamdulillah. On following the Khulafa al-Rashideen, how does it apply today in our practicing two adhans for Jumu'ah in North America today as it was established by the Khalifa radiallahu anhu? The ulama, they say, as the Khalifa Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he instituted this other adhan for the situation that he found himself in, and that was that certain people in the marketplace, as there was no microphone and there weren't clocks and watches on everybody's wrist, so he knows that Jumu'ah is 1 o'clock and he knows to get to the masjid, but the adhan used to serve the purpose of calling the people to Salatul Jumu'ah. When the Muslim numbers had gotten so large during his time and the people began to spread out and the city began to get bigger, that the people didn't hear the adhan. As Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself, one day he was late, so he initiated another adhan in the marketplace away from the masjid in order to let the people in the marketplace know that Salatul Jumu'ah is near. And the ulama, they say, if we find ourselves in this in these same circumstances, then we can take from this benefit, meaning if the Muslims are in a particular marketplace and they are unaware of the time of Salatul Jumu'ah, and someone had made the adhan in the marketplace for them and the workplace for them, calling them to the masjid, then this would be okay. But nowadays, where we have the microphones and the speakers and everyone can hear it, and we have watches and clocks and everyone is aware, as the masjid usually they post the time when they have Salatul Jumu'ah, that there's no need for that. That he instituted this as a particular need and not just to set a new way to be practiced forever. And we know that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was very considerate to the people, as we were mentioning the other day, that he saw the people when they were making the Hajj and the Umrah, that the Muslims were in so big numbers that he was afraid to make the Salat to Raka'at for Dhuhr and Asr, as he thought that the people would be confused into thinking that Dhuhr and Asr were 2 Raka'at, so he made it 4 in order not to confuse the people. And the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best guidance. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam used to say, khayrul huda, huda Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there used to be one adhan during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, and Abu Bakr and Umar, and during the early time of the Khilafahship of Uthman, and that this is the best way, unless we find ourselves in the circumstances that Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu found himself in, then we can use that which he used, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is what we have learned from our ulama. Maybe I should read the question also, the questions that come in Arabic. هناك من يقول أنه علينا أن نخترع طرقا للتغير تغيير الحكومات ويقول منها الضغط الجماهيري لإسقاط الحكام لأنها طريقة
لأنها طريقة جربت في روسيا وغيرها لأنها طريقة جربت في روسيا وغيرها جماهير
I'm seeing if I understand the question correctly, or maybe the person, if he knows a little English, he can see if I understand his question correctly. He's saying there are some people who say that it is upon us that we should take some new path to change, changing the government. And they say that the masses of the Muslims should put the pressure on the government so that the governments would fall, and that this is the way that has been tested in Russia and other places. Those people who say this, we question them. Is this the way of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is this the way of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is this the way of the Salaf al-Salih, to have the masses of the people put pressure on the government in order to overthrow them for a better change? Or did the people listen and obey their leaders? And this is a part of the belief of the Muslims, that we hear and we obey our leaders, whether they're righteous or criminal. That we listen and we obey our leaders, whether they're righteous or criminal. This is the belief of the Muslims. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in too many hadith, have established this. And sometimes when we hear the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, like in this hadith of Sahih Muslim, وَإِن ضَرَبَ ظَهْرَكَ وَأَخَذَ مَالَكَ Anyway, the meaning of it is the same when we translate it, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is in the section of the Kitab al-Imara from Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, even if he beats you unjustly and he takes your wealth unjustly, then listen to him and obey him. We can't make mockery of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, but this is the way the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us to obey our leadership. What about this change? Are you who more corrupt than the leaders going to bring about a better government than the leaders themselves? This isn't from Islam, that any group of people, if they feel that the leadership isn't doing good, that they get a group of people and they encourage the people to overthrow the government as this change is going to be better. No, they obey the leader. They listen to the leader and they obey the leader so long as he makes salah, so long as he establishes the salah. And most of the Muslim leaders, definitely in the West, that they allow the Muslims to establish the salah in the proper times, alhamdulillah. And even the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in authentic hadith, has given us the advice that if the leader establishes the salat in the wrong time, and we have them in America, astaghfirullah, establish Fajr after the sun rises. He said because it's easy, not all year long, but sometimes part of the year, as he says, it's easier for the people to go to work. If we establish the Fajr at this time, then they can go to the work. And Islam is the easy deen, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Inna deena yusra. Indeed, this deed is easy. Even if we find ourselves in this situation, we must listen to that leader and we must obey him. We make our salat at home in the proper time, and then we go to the masjid and we establish the jama'ah with the leader in the incorrect time as a nafila, so as not to show any type of disobedience to the leader. This is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has established for us in al-Islam. And this is the deen of Islam, and let's not be fooled by the so-called democracy. And everybody has a vote. And let's say whatever the people say and they agree upon, then this is the way it's going to be. This has no place in Islam. The sunnah is better than the bid'ah of the kuffar, or the way of the kuffar. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has established this for us, and it's for the questioner just to refer to those hadith in Sahih Muslim, and if you read them, it'll correct your understanding, inshallah ta'ala. What is the ruling concerning those who promote isolation? They don't attend lectures and they ask the brothers not to attend, claiming there is no use and that there is nobody qualified to teach. SubhanAllah al-Azim. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves my tongue from being or causing any harm to the Muslim. Some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the times of fitna, where the Muslims began fighting one another because of whatever reason it was, that they went off and isolated themselves from the people so that they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were mentioning this today in the Aqidah of the Salaf, that there's no fighting in the time of fitna, that it's better to stay away from the fighting and the arguing and the debating when the Muslims are at odds with one another, and to go off by yourself and to practice that which you know of Islam is better than being indulged in all of the fighting of the Muslims. And that this is from Islam, and we have our Salaf al-Saleh practicing this, and many of the people have practiced this before us when they found themselves in this time. So if a brother who has knowledge of the deen of al-Islam and he wants to save his tongue and his honor from being blemished by arguing and fighting with the Muslims, and he goes off to be by himself in order to practice Islam to the best of his ability so he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is perfectly permissible in Islam. As far as him calling the other people not to attend lectures because no one is qualified to teach, then if no one is qualified to teach, then no one should attend the lectures. Subhanallah al-Azim. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he had warned us from taking the juhala or the ignorant as our leaders. Because if we take the ignorant as our leaders to teach us this deen, they're going to give us verdict from their own opinion, and they're going to go astray and lead us astray. That's from this hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Aaf radiallahu anhu. So if no one is qualified to teach, then you don't go to the people and you practice Islam to the best of your ability. But when the people who are teaching the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and teaching the people how to understand and practice the Quran and the Sunnah in their lives with the understanding and the practice of the Salaf, that whoever finds this in his area, in the houses or in the masjids or in the halls where they have the lectures and the classes, then it's upon the people to go out and get this, as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith, طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. Seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. Seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. So no one can advise the people, and we shouldn't understand that someone is advising the people not to seek knowledge. No, we have to seek the knowledge. But no one should have to go to the deviant scholars and the people who have no knowledge of the deen for them to learn their deen from. And I hope that when they say that no one is qualified, that they mean that no one has the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah or the understanding of the Salaf al-Saleh. And that qualifications in Islam is different than their qualifications in Jahiliyyah. In Jahiliyyah, we get a piece of paper from a degree from a university, and we become qualified. In Islam, you have to memorize the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf to be qualified. And that alhamdulillah that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he allowed this qualification to be in levels. As the brother was quoting the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Preach what you have learned from me, even if it's only one piece of information. Whoever learns one ayat, understands it correctly, and knows how to implement it in his life, then he can practice that on. And whoever comes to him to learn the understanding of that one ayat, or how to practice that one ayat in his life, then he should learn it from that brother. And then the other people who know 10 ayats, and then the other people who know more ayats, more hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, then the people learn from them. Qualification is what he has, and the qualification is going to be in levels. And no one can say that there's one particular level, when you reach it then you're qualified, and whoever didn't reach it isn't qualified. But that the qualification depends on the knowledge that the person has of the Book of Allah, the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And all of the ulama know this, and this is why we have hadith. We say this hadith is sahih, and we say that that hadith is hasan. Why do we say this one is sahih and that one is hasan? Because those ulama are on that level and the hadith is sahih, and those ulama are a little lower than them, and that hadith is hasan. This is how the ulama, they break down on, for an example, in the science of hadith. And we see in other areas as the ulama, they say that he is a hafiz, and this one is a alim, and that one is Shaykh al-Islam, and so on, showing the different levels of scholarship among the ulama, and all of them are considered to be qualified. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us in these times of fitna.
Jazakallah khair akuna, may Allah reward him. The time is very short. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.